And we're now going to have our New Testament reading, which is going to be in the form of a drama. And everybody's going to take part. So this comes from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. And it's about the workers in the vineyard. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like this, and he told the following story. Once there was a man who went out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them the regular wage, a gold coin a day, and sent them to work in his vineyard. He then went out again at 9 o'clock and saw some men standing there doing nothing. What? You have to go and get them, Philip.
Oh. There's not going to be many men.
They're not very enthusiastic workers,
no.
Are they? Right, so he went out again at 9 o'clock and he saw some people standing there doing nothing, so he roped them in as well.
You could do some work.
Vineyard owner.
You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you a fair wage.
So they went. Then at 12 o'clock, he did the same thing. And again at 3 o'clock.
It's funny, I knew that.
No, I won't.
And it was nearly 5 o'clock when he went to the marketplace and saw some other people still standing there.
Yeah, come on. Ivy. I'm in the field.
When evening came, the owner called together the workers to pay them their wages, starting with those who were hired last. And ending with those who were hired first. The people had begun to work at 5 o'clock were paid a coin each. When the people who were the first to be hired came to be paid, they thought they would get more. But they too were given a coin each. They took their money and started grumbling.
These workers who you hired last have worked only 1 hour, while we've been working all day in the hot sun. And yet you paid them the same as you pay us.
Listen, friend, I have not cheated you. After all, you agreed to do a day's work for 1 coin. Now take your pay and go home. I want to give this man who was hired last as much as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you jealous because I am generous?
And Jesus concluded, so those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last.
Thank you very much.
You may eat your wages. grumbling. I don't know. This story follows on from Jesus' words in the previous chapter in the Bible, which were, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Entitlement is a strange thing in the kingdom of heaven. There is a promise of a gift beyond deserving, but there is also a whole new pattern that does not seem fair. At least not fair according to human standards. The disciples were shocked, for instance, to discover that the rich were going to find it difficult to enter God's kingdom. How shocking it must have been to hear that wealth could be a spiritual handicap. Just as with the parable of the unforgiving slave in chapter 18 of Matthew, a couple of chapters before this story, Jesus asks us and them to consider the question from a different angle. Here he tells a story not about the rich, but about the working poor, labourers who were hired daily for agricultural work. So they have no guarantee of work, certainly a 0 hours contract, but they turn up early in the marketplace, hoping to be chosen and to be paid the going rate for a day's labour, 1 denarius. Jesus talks of a landowner whose main concern is to ensure that as many people as possible are hired for the day, regardless of how much work they do. So he hires at dawn, at 9, at noon, at 3 o'clock, and even at 5 o'clock, when the working day is almost over. And he pays all his workers the same traditional daily rate. Those who work from dawn become discontented, not because they have not received what was agreed, but because they feel that they deserve more than the workers who arrived at 5 o'clock. But in truth, the masters not lowered their wages, but raised the wages of the latecomers. As he puts it, are you envious because I'm generous? Of course, the simple answer is yes. Comparing oneself with others often leads to a sense of entitlement, a desire to see a proper differential between people that reflects the level of service or seniority or effort. But the kingdom of heaven is not like this. It is about responding and belonging, not about earning recognition or reward. In fact, life's normal pecking order is completely reversed. The last will be first, and the first will be last.
This morning, we've looked at two very different stories, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. So it may be by now that you're wondering why these two stories. What have they got to do with each other? And what can we possibly discover from them that might be useful or important for our lives today? After all, none of us are likely to be sent off by God to tell people in a distant city that God does not like their behaviour. And none of us are likely to spend our days waiting and hoping to be hired as an agricultural labourer. So, if we look first at Jonah's story, what can we possibly learn that might be important for us here and now? God had a special job for Jonah to do, and that job was all part of God's plan for helping people of Nineveh. God wanted Jonah to work with him and for him, to go and explain to these people that they were not living in the right way, and that if they did not change, God, being God of justice, was going to have to punish them. Still today, God has things that he wants us to do for him. God wants us to use our time, talents, and lives in his service. And if we, like Jonah, want to run away from something in which we feel that God is calling us to do, I am sure he has the power to redirect us. When God gives us a task, he also gives us support, guidance, wisdom, and courage that we need to do it. God does not leave us alone to manage by ourselves. He is there with us in whatever it is that we are asked to do. And so long as we follow his direction, with his help, we can achieve what God asks us to do. Jonah did in the end, but of course it was what God wanted. Not exactly how or what Jonah wanted to achieve. God can even help us to understand more about why he wants his particular outcome. Jonah was not pleased that the people of Nineveh repented and were spared the punishment that he had predicted. And of course, we can understand why. Presumably, he felt that this outcome didn't do his standing as a prophet any good. God's punishment that he had threatened the people with didn't happen. Also, it seems Jonah felt that they really deserved the punishment anyway, even though they had repented. However, God showed Jonah, through his feelings for the bush that had sheltered him, how much more God felt for the people of Nineveh. He helped Jonah, and sometimes God helps us too, to see the situation in a new way, God's way. What a difference it can make to our understanding if we can glimpse the situation from God's point of view. Again, in our New Testament reading, we are given the chance to see a situation from a different angle. Our idea of justice and God's way of justice are not always the same. Life is not always fair. All of us are separate, different individuals. We do not experience life in the same way. Life does not treat us exactly the same. Only God really knows all there is to know about each individual. He even knows us better than actually we know ourselves. After all, he made us, and he knows what our real needs are. So we cannot compare ourselves with other people. Doing that will never give us a true picture, God's picture. If we want to compare at all, then we need to compare ourselves with Jesus. Only that way will we see our shortcomings and get a more realistic picture of ourselves. Both of our readings today deal with the amazing generosity of God. Jonah expected God to share his hatred of Nineveh. Peter expected the hard work and sacrifice of the disciples will be acknowledged. They both expected God to agree with their limited viewpoint. But God is shown to be far more generous and forgiving than either of them can imagine. It turns out God's love is for all people everywhere and cannot be earned by merit. Life in God's kingdom is different to life outside the kingdom. We differentiate between service, seniority, and effort, but the kingdom of heaven is not like that. The pecking order is reversed. In it, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. As we sang in our hymn earlier, in God's kingdom, the world is turned upside down.